all through this morning during the praise and also in some of the prophecies, talked about the issues of the heart. And if you heard, God called us to open up our hearts. Now, why would he do that? Have you ever told somebody to open the door when the door is already open? So I was listening as I heard God talk to us this morning. He's talking about cleansing your heart, opening your heart, following your heart, listening to the heart of God. And I was thinking of that song, It's Your Heart, this morning. It's your heart. It's your heart. It's your heart that matters. And so many times we look at the outside and we judge by the outside and we don't have a clue about the heart. And sometimes the Bible says a lot of things about the heart. And some of them I think we've misused and quoted wrongly. Sometimes I've heard it preached that your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, I hope that's not talking about you. Because that statement was made about Judah when Judah was living in sin and absolute rebellion, had turned their back against God and was following the gods of the nations around them. They'd hardened their heart, and all they would do would be listen to each other. They followed the advice of men. I think it's that same chapter where he talks about cursed is man that trusts in man. But you see, that's true in that condition. But I believe Proverbs says something about the virtuous woman, her husband safely trusts in her. So we have to take scripture, take things that God said and have them in a context where they're truth. Because out of context, it's not true. My heart is not deceitful above all things and desperately wicked this morning. It's not. I come and I worship and I find openness to God. I find God tells me, he talks to me and says some things. John, be careful about this. It's the pure in heart that see God. And so if my heart is deceitfully and desperately wicked, I haven't got a chance of seeing God. Something happens and our hearts get changed. You see, a little child, we've got a couple little babies here, two little ones here. The hearts of those little children are as pure and perfect as it ever can be. There is not an ounce of anything but purity in that child. Jesus said, except you be converted, become like a little child, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. That's like these little guys. So these little guys are not beasts. They're absolutely perfect. They're pure. Their hearts are perfect before God. In fact, they're so perfect that Jesus said they're angels to continually behold the face of God in heaven. That's pretty pure. If their spirit, their angel, is continually beholding in heaven the face of our Father who's in heaven, that's pretty clean. We've got to become like that. Well, what happens? What brings the change? How does it get twisted around? How does it get wrong? Well, it gets wrong as we get older and we think we know better. And then we discover that, oh, now that I'm told I can't, and I discover that I want, you know, and not all children are the same. Some children are just totally compliant, like they just comply. And others can disobey before they have a chance to do anything else. Part of it's the nature, part of it's the DNA. But in every heart, it must be made new when there's a consciousness that something's out of order. So I want to talk about the heart this morning, and I've been thinking a lot about this. This will be one of the subjects in Belize this year. The condition of the heart. We need to know the condition of our heart. We need to discover it. I need to know the condition of my heart. You need to know the condition of your heart. May 8th, my heart was perfect. That's what my brain said. My heart was telling me otherwise. My heart had been talking to me for several years, but my brain always said, everything's fine. Everything's fine. But the heart was saying, nope, nope, nope. Pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. My brain said, everything's fine. The heart and the brain are two totally separate entities. Do you know that your heart has brain cells? It does. It has brain cells. In fact, a baby, as it's developing in the womb, the heart is developed and beating, functioning, before there's one brain cell developed in the head. The heart has its own brain. It has its own thing. The heart and brain communicate, but the brain does not tell the heart when to beat faster. The heart tells the heart when to beat faster based on communication with the body. That's how the heart works. It's got its own thing. It's an amazing thing. I've been amazed by the heart. So the brain doesn't tell the heart what to do. In fact, the heart tells the brain as much as the brain tells the heart what to do. It's an amazing organ, the way God made this thing. I'll read you some details here, but the heart is actually more powerful than the brain. More powerful. It has more electricity. It has more of an electromagnetic field, way, way larger than the brain. The brain is actually very limited. Go to Proverbs. We've got to look at a couple of verses here because there's a lot of wisdom here in Proverbs chapter 4. And I can now understand a little bit about why we're told some of these things. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. I've heard that verse quoted, "Guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life." And that's pretty weak. That's not what the Bible says. It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence." And what that is saying is, guard your heart with a guard. Guard your heart with a guard. If there's something very valuable, you put a guard there. Valuable things get protected. We protect what's valuable. Even to the point of wearing gloves and mitts in the winter because we want to protect our fingers. We cover our ears. We cover our heads. We put on seat belts. There's a lot of things we do to protect ourselves. And we're told here by a wise man, guard your heart with a guard. There's something really, really important. Your heart will do for you what no law can do for you. Your heart will keep you where no law can keep you, no rule can keep you, but your heart will. There's no rule that governs and can develop a relationship with anybody. Friendships, whether it's a man and a woman, or two men, two women, children, those relationships are not developed and governed by rules. They're governed and developed by the condition of the heart. So every good relationship you have is based on the condition of a heart. It's connecting. And I'll read you some studies that have been done. But it's amazing. These things are governed by the condition of the heart. A heart that's closed up is an irregular heart. And the waveform of the electromagnetic field is very disrupted. It's not synchronized. It's off. It's not a perfect pattern. But in a person who is emotionally stable, that pattern, that electromagnetic field, is perfect in structure. Not only that, they've found that two people who are healthy with healthy hearts, lives are in order. At peace with God, they found when those people meet, their electromagnetic fields blend. In fact, they've measured it with instruments 5 feet away. And so when people come together that are healthy, that electromagnetic field actually blends and it synchronizes with each other. That's why some people, you're with some people and you just connect. We just connect so good. Other people, I just don't connect with them. There's a reality to that more. It's not a mental thing. It's a physical reality. What the heart does in regarding our relationship, there's no rule that will cause you to connect with somebody. It's a condition of the heart. So here we have Psalm or Proverbs 4. Guard your heart. He says, keep your heart with all diligence. But translated perfectly, guard your heart with a guard. Guard it with a guard. And he says, why? For out of it are the issues. And the word all, when it says issues, it's all issues. For out of it are all the issues of your life. It's true. Your heart is more, when you talk about the heart in the Bible, it's more than just a mental, emotional, kind of nebulous, spiritual type and shadow. Your heart is a heart, and it does something. It's real. And so when we're told to guard our heart with a guard, we're talking about guarding something that is absolutely real. It's right, it's real. And it's going to dictate the quality of your life. It's going to dictate the quality of your life. And so it's going to dictate how we treat those older than us. It's going to dictate how we treat those younger than us. It's going to dictate everything we do. It's going to dictate what we have. Someone prophesied about our possessions, our things. The condition of our heart will dictate what we do with everything we have. Out of it are all the issues of life. Then he gives some practical instructions. Put away from thee a froward mouth, that's distorted, which you can't quite believe what's said, because the lips are perverse. Let your eyes look right on. Don't be shifty. Let your eyelids look straight before thee. That's not blinking and winking. Ponder the path of thy feet. That's consider where you're going. You know, a crooked heart can never understand the path that it's on. A heart that really is deceitful, no matter what path it's on, it always says, oh, it'll work out. It'll work out. It'll work out. But a heart that is true and right can look at a path and say, this doesn't look like it's going where I want to go. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. The Bible says, I was talking to Terry Emar. She had a heart attack, and she's back. I guess she's back home now again. But and I was telling her about some of the differences in blood pressure on the right and left. Because the heart is to the left, blood pressure is typically a little higher on the right arm than the left. And I discovered that one day in the hospital, they were checking, and this one was 30 points higher. Top and bottom number, 30 points higher than this one. And they said, well, there's a little fluid in there. And they said, but even typically, because the heart is further to the right, the blood pressure is a little higher on this side. And so I was telling this to Terry, and she said, but John, that's not true. Mine is this. No, she said, actually, mine's a little higher on the left. I said, well, maybe you're one of these people that are just exactly like the Bible says. The Bible says that the heart of a good man's on his right side. Heart of an evil man's on his left. Check me out. That's what it says. I said, maybe your heart's on the right side. Maybe mine's on the left. But these are pictures of what God has given us. But he wants us to understand it. Not just in a type and shadow kind of way, but in a reality kind of way. You see, your relationships are not types and shadows. They're real. The relationship we have with our wife or our husband or our children or our grandchildren, our grandparents, these are real. These are real. And if they're not working, if our relationship is not working, I need to say, like I heard this morning in the prophecy, open up your heart. Open up the heart and find out what is there. Why can't I get along with some people? Why is there friction? What's the wall between me and certain people? What is it? I don't know. Got to open up the heart. Not my mind. My mind will dictate based on external observation. The heart has an intellect as well. Go to chapter 6. Verse 12. These are just some issues. Start at verse 10. Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with his froward mouth. It's perverse. He winks with his eyes. He speaks with his feet. He teaches with his fingers. And there's a reason. It's because frowardness is in his heart. That froward is something that's fraud. It's not really, my heart is fraudulent. Now, what that fraudulent heart is can be known by is that a healthy person, an emotionally stable person, their words, their actions, and their intentions always line up exactly. So if what you say and what you do always matches your intention, what you intended to do, it when these three all agree, there's no fraud in the heart. But a fraud heart or a froward heart is one that makes my words say, "Hi, this is my good to see you again." Meanwhile, you wish you wouldn't have to see that person every day. Has anybody ever done that but me? You go to work, you say, "Hi, good to see you this morning." You're thinking, "Oh, I wish you had called in sick." You see, the words don't match the heart. Sometimes it's a little more subtle than that. But a person with integrity always has their words matching their intentions and their actions. A froward heart, it's disconnected. If there's a condition in my heart that's deceitful, there's a disconnect between what I say, what I do, and what I intend to do. So I want you to think I really like you, when in reality, please don't come around. That's the fraudulent heart. That's the fraud heart. The froward heart. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He sows discord. Can you imagine? Can you imagine sowing discord? Nah. It comes out of a heart that's not healthy. It comes out of a heart that is thinking evil and trying to be deceitful. Therefore, shall his calamity come suddenly? Suddenly shall he be broken without remedies. These six things does the Lord hate. Seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Verse 18, and a heart that fabricates wicked plans, and feet that carry them out. Do you know plans? There are more plans made in your heart than there are your brain. It's true. There are more plans in your life devised in your heart than there are in your brain. Because the heart has desire. The brain is programmed. It just tracks what's already put in there. But when desire changes, that change comes from the heart, not the head. That's why we're told we have to have a new heart. He didn't say, "I got to give you a new brain so you think right." He renews this one. But he gives us a brand new heart. Because out of this heart that is broken and crushed and twisted because of the rebellious nature that came when Adam rebelled, got to get a new heart. These are the words, some of the words in the Bible that talk about, that describe the heart. Now, and this is right out of the Bible, so I'm just going to read you this list of words that describe different kind of hearts. These are the different kind of hearts that there are. Evil, broken, tender, perfect, double, willing, wise, wicked, upright, lifted up, tender, prepared, proud, faithful, true, hard, sorrowful, merry, soft, trembling, firm, glad, pure, enlarged, panting, failing, clean, contrite, fixed, cleansed, grieved, froward, smitten, wounded, established, fat, sound, haughty, desolate, perverse, deceitful, deceived, sick, bitter, pure, faint, fat, stout, pained, rebellious, new, blinded, purified, divided, glad, meek, lowly, gross, slow, veiled, single, heavy, comforted, and kept. A lot of words. A lot of words describing your heart. It's because the heart has substance. There's so much more to our hearts than we've ever known. We brushed it aside, thinking, "Well, if I just do this, everything will be okay. Or if I can just change my thinking. If I can set a rule, it'll help me go right." No, when the heart can be so many things, it's hard to figure out your heart. It really is. That's why you have to have a trusting heart. Trust something. Trust someone. Trust God. There's a way that is so big and so full that when we discover the freedom that comes from a healed heart, that course, what is the broken heart or something? The wounded heart. Pain of the heart, yeah. Pain of the heart. And it talks, they talk so much about the condition and the hurts of the heart and how the heart can find healing. No matter what the wound, God has an answer for every condition of the heart that is not good. He's an answer for it. He heals it. He came to bind up their wounds and to heal. He came to heal the brokenhearted. That's what he came for. He didn't come to give you the capacity to work around and live, survive with a broken heart. He came to heal it and make you whole. He did. He intends for you to be whole. He didn't intend you to carry heart pain and brokenness and sadness and hurts and wounds. I tell you what, those things are going to come. It's called life. It's called life in a broken world. Life that in a world that is broken without God. This is the earth we live on. The earth we live in. This is the realm we relate. Bad things are going to happen. Bad things happen to good people. The same way the good things happen to bad people. Good things happen to you when you were bad. So don't be surprised when bad things happen to you when you're good. It's okay. It's all part of strengthening your heart. If I would have known on May 8th the condition of my heart, I would have not had what I had on May 9th. I'd have done something different. I really would have. And if I'd have been listening to my heart, I would have known. But I listened to my brain because I thought my brain was right. Don't trust your brain. Trust your heart. So Jesus said, except ye be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Then he gave a warning in the same chapter, Matthew 18. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Take these little ones, pure, perfect. Little one, pure, perfect. Little Declan, Bethany, they're pure, they're perfect. They're perfect. And when we can see one another, when God has given us a new heart, and when I can see your heart, rather than sometimes the mistakes, when I see your heart, I relate to you totally different. Because I see your heart, you see? I want to tell you some facts about your heart. Your heart's an amazing thing. The average heart pumps 1.5 gallons of blood per minute. That's pretty good. Pretty good. In fact, some estimates say higher. This is a low estimate. That's over 2,000 gallons a day. Pretty good. Your hand couldn't pump that much. Your arm would get tired and quit and seize up. That is 780,000 gallons per year. So that's that heart inside of you. That's 50 million gallons by the time you're 65. That heart's an amazing thing, people. Not only in its physical structure, but in its intellectual, and it's in the heart structure, the on the eternal side of things. And so it pumps this blood through approximately 60,000 miles of veins and arteries. That's a long ways to push that blood through. In a normal lifespan, your heart beats over 2.5 billion times. It's a lot. I'm not sure how many zeros that is even, but it's a lot. The heart has its own nervous system. It does not rely on the brain to function. It creates its own electrical impulse to beat. Creates its own. The heart continually produces between 1 and 5 watts of electricity. It's quite a bit. Quite a bit. Got some electricians here. Between 1 and 5 watts it produces.
It would light your light.
It would light your light. Yeah. In a developing baby, the heart is formed and beating before the brain has even begun to be formed. Current science and medicine has verified that the human heart contains brain cells that facilitate thinking and reasoning. It has intellectual capacity. Did you ever meet somebody and somehow you just felt something, keep your distance? You didn't even know them. On the other hand, you met somebody and you knew they were a believer. Where's that come from? Not your brain. The heart. Because the whole, and science and some philosophies use this word aura, making it sort of mystical, but yet there is an electromagnetic field around you that is produced by your heart. And when we come into contact with other believers, tell you what, we mesh, we click. Call it however you want. Doesn't matter. But you connect. And you connect not by your brain, but you connect by your heart. Luke 6. Got to read this. Verse 43, for a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush do they gather grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. Oh, did you know you have something valuable in your heart? If it's good, you're a good man with a good treasure. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And it's not so much the words are awful, awful, but the words don't line up. It can't build consistently. Something breaks down. You see, every one of us are bringing forth fruit. Every one of us are continually bringing forth, producing fruit. Our lives are full of fruit, whether we like it or not. And the fruit that's on my tree, on my life, and this fruit, again, is not a fruit that's just hanging there waiting to be picked. It's fruit that's getting picked. So the fruit that's getting picked depends on the condition of my heart. If my heart is honest and good, that's good. I'm going to have, people will be getting good things out of my life. Not because I'm so good, but because Jesus gave me a new heart. And that new heart produces something. And if the fruit that people are receiving and are not picking, because that's all that's there, is evil, it's because I may have gotten a new heart from Jesus, but it ain't producing any fruit. It's just kind of dormant. It's weak. It breaks down when it's called on. May 9th, my heart gave up. I couldn't work, couldn't do what was required. It just quit, couldn't do it. Oh, it was still beating like crazy, but it just couldn't produce. The heart's an amazing thing. The heart will die to try to keep the body going. The body was calling for oxygen, needed blood. And the heart was starving, itself was starving for oxygen. But because the body was calling for oxygen, that heart kept beating and kept beating and kept beating until actually parts of the heart will die because it's not getting enough for itself. The heart don't shut off the body so a heart can live. Because what good is a heart without a body? It knows, keep the body going at all cost. Keep it alive, because without a body, the heart is useless. And that's why it is that Jesus is looking for somebody here to be his heart. He's looking for somebody. He's looking for somebody that'll have his heartbeat in every situation. Church, we're not here for ourselves. We're not here so we can look good. We're not here to produce something. We're here so that the heartbeat of Jesus himself can be felt and seen and known. And if that's not happening, we need to open up our heart. Time to open up our heart, because we've guarded it against the things that give us life. And we brought in the things that are slowly, slowly making the body die. that what that heart will beat to its very last to try to keep the body alive. And that's the heart of Jesus. It'll never quit. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance, or what's the heart is full of, that's what the mouth will speak. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? It's an amazing thing. Jude talks about denying him. We deny him when we don't let his heart beat. We deny him when we don't let his heart beat because we have other agendas. The heart generates the most powerful and most extensive rhythmic electromagnetic field there is. Compared to the electromagnetic field produced by the brain, the electrical component of the heart's field is about 60 times greater in amplitude and permeates every cell in the body. So an electromagnetic field has two things. It has electricity, it has magnetism. You can have electricity, but when electricity is flowing, it creates magnetism. Is that correct? I think so. Flowing is what creates the magnetism. And if you would take a magnet lid on the table and sprinkle iron filings all around, they would make a perfect pattern around that magnet, North Pole to South Pole. That's the magnetic field on display. You can see it. So the electrical part of this electromagnetic field of the heart, the electrical side, is 60 times greater than the brain. That's pretty good. The magnetic component, so the magnetic part of this electromagnetic field, the magnetic component of this electromagnetic field of the heart, the magnetic side, is 5,000 times greater than the brain. Isn't that something? 5,000 times greater than the brain. So this electromagnetic field of the brain, if you see it on a picture, if you can see it with the measurement or how it would look, the brain has a little field weak, and the heart, huge, huge field all around that encompasses the brain. And can be detected several feet away from the body with sensitive magnetometers. Basic research shows that information pertaining to a person's emotional state is also communicated through the body via the heart's electromagnetic field. It's shown. When they're measuring the electromagnetic component of your heart, your emotional state is shown through that, in that field. The rhythmic beating patterns of the heart change significantly as we express different emotions. Negative emotions, such as anger or frustration, are associated with an erratic, disordered, incoherent pattern of the heart's rhythms. In contrast, positive emotions, such as love or appreciation, are associated with a smooth, ordered, coherent pattern in the heart's rhythmic activity. In turn, these changes in the heart's beating patterns create corresponding changes in the social bonding hormone. So not only does your brain produce hormones, the heart actually produces, like this oxytocin, the one that's a feel-good one, the heart produces as much of that as the brain does. The heart senses what's going on. Remarkably, concentrations of oxytocin produced in the heart are the same range as those produced in the brain. Since emotional processes work faster than the mind, it takes a power stronger than the mind to bend perception and override emotional circuitry and provide us with the intuitive feelings instead. It takes the power of the heart to change your reasoning, to change your thinking. It takes the power of the heart. Ever walk into a dangerous situation and not know why? Your brain is not processing all this information quickly. It's the heart is picking up something. Proven scientifically, the heart picks it up. The heart responds faster to emotional changes than the brain. The brain, the mind is slower because it has to process. This heart knows. That's why you want to have a clean heart. Go to Psalms 51. So open up your heart. When you're thinking this morning, think, open up your heart. Open it. Open it up. Open it up. Psalms 51. Verse, let's start at, this was when David was seeking some forgiveness for some pretty bad things. Verse 1. Psalms 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. He's dealing with all three here. The transgressions, iniquities, and sin. He says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. That's what wisdom is actually found in the heart. Knowledge and understanding are in the brain. But wisdom is a heart issue. And the Bible says that in several places. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Then he gets down to the heart of the matter. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. These things come from a clean heart that's created. Something that's created isn't made from something else. Anything that's created is made. It's created out of nothing. When God created the heaven and the earth, he didn't take something for it. He spoke and it came. God doesn't take, to create a new heart in you, he doesn't take your old heart and fix it to try to make it clean. He doesn't scrub it. It comes out of nowhere except himself. And you discover how clean, how good a clean heart feels. It just feels so good to be clean. I never forget waking up in the morning after giving my heart to the Lord. Next morning, I felt clean. Clean's an amazing thing. To be able to wake up with a clean heart, be able to go places with a clean heart. David had it after he'd done this horrible thing. And he said, you have to create in me a clean heart. He wasn't going to get it any other way. There's no rule. You see, David's problem wasn't a commandment problem. It was an unclean heart problem. It wasn't even a weakness problem. He was strong. It wasn't a determination problem. This man had gone through lots of stuff. Anybody had determination to keep going, it was proven David had that. It wasn't a lack of determination. It wasn't a problem with pornography. It was a problem with an unclean heart. So we got to get to the root of the matter. Every issue that you cannot overcome, every problem that holds you down every time, everyone, it all comes back to the one thing, clean heart. See, with an unclean heart, who likes to open up? Clean heart, no problem. I've been working on this house, and I'm just dirty. Dirty. The other day I wanted coffee, and I was so dirty. And there was no water in the house to wash with. You know what I did? Waited until somebody brought coffee. I didn't want to go into a store or a coffee shop looking so horrible dirty. There's something about, for me anyway, maybe other people don't care. Yet I've been really dirty, lots. I've had grease all over me and gone for, but somehow all this dust and dirt in my eyes and my hair. But when I'm clean, I discover I have no problem going into a coffee shop. I got no problem going in there and taking off my coat. Because I'm clean, you see. So when God calls us to open up our hearts, a clean heart has no problem opening up. No problem. I'll never forget standing on a porch in our house at Fort Ware. Knock on the door about 9 o'clock at night. It was dark. I went outside, and a young man was standing there, and he said, "John, so we finally figured out why you're here. We finally figured out what you're doing here." He was angry. I said, "Okay, what's up?" He said, "You've been abusing our little girls." I tell you what, that's hard. I said, "What?" And he said it again. And he said, "In fact, we have decided that you and your family need to be out of here by noon tomorrow, or there'll be nothing left to take out." So, meanwhile, I'm checking my heart. Do I try to prove myself? Do I fight? Do I argue? Because it was going to be impossible to get out of there by noon tomorrow. You had to fly in. You had to fly out. There was no way. The only path was to open up. And with a pure heart, you can do this. And I said, "Randy," I said, "I've been here 6 years. You've watched me. We've walked the trails together. We've slept on cabin floors together. We've done the snow machines together. We've done the dog teams together. We've hunted together. We've fished together. And so is everybody else that was there with you when you were talking about this." And I said, "So if that's my heart, and that's what you've seen in my heart, then I guess that's what you'll have to do. But I haven't done it. But you have to judge my heart." And I opened up to my heart. Oh, opened up. Because, you see, when the heart is clean, you don't have to defend yourself. You'll always know when your heart's clean, because you won't defend yourself. If you got to defend yourself, stop and check your heart. You might have to defend it. You might have to try to prove you're not, you see. And Randy looked at the deck, little deck. We had a deck about this size. He looked at the deck, and he was shuffling his feet. And finally, he said, "You couldn't have done it." He said, "You couldn't have," and he left. But that's the joy. That's the reward of a clean heart, you see. That's the reward of a clean heart. You don't have to defend yourself. Just open up your heart. If you find yourself defending yourself, maybe there's something wrong. Maybe you're having to put a wall to protect, because there is something wrong in there. But when there's nothing to defend, you can just open it right up. When there's no deceit, when it's all clean, you can open it up. God's calling us this morning. Open up your heart. Open it. Just open it up and see what happens. See the blessing that God will pour out on a people whose hearts are open. "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit." A clean heart never gets cast away. A clean heart never loses the Holy Spirit. A clean heart has the joy of salvation restored, and a carrying by the Spirit of God. God carries the clean heart. The pure in heart, you can stand before God, and you're carried, you're kept. There's so much. Psalms, another place, David said, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give you praise." My heart is fixed. It's so nice to know when your heart is fixed. Sometimes we don't know. We see a problem coming. We see a little test coming, and we wonder if I'll make this. I wonder if I can do this. Never forget sitting in that wheelchair going down for that last stress test. And I had a word from God. He's never going to let you down. Don't let fear and worry rob you of the joy you've found. You've come this far. And I'm sitting in that chair. My heart wasn't all that fixed, because I was afraid they'd find a problem. All you can do is open up and say, "God, here it is. I'm still kind of afraid." That's okay. You can't lie. You can't. God knows what's in there. And if your heart is afraid, they say, "God, my heart's afraid. Fear isn't in your brain, it's in your heart. Open up, God. I'm a little bit afraid. I don't know what'll happen. But my heart is fixed." And once that heart is fixed, past the last test, or whatever it takes, when you've seen God restore your heart and the joy of your salvation, that causes you to one more time fix that heart again and let the heart of Jesus be fixed in you, something happens. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Another time David said, my flesh and my heart fail, but God's the strength of my heart. So I don't have it, but he makes up the lack. I can trust him. He heals the brokenhearted. Experiments conducted at the Institute of Heart Math found remarkable evidence that the heart's electromagnetic field can transmit information between people. They've measured it between individuals up to 5 feet apart. They've also found that one person's brain waves can actually synchronize to another person's heart. Isn't that interesting? It's amazing how God made the heart. It's powerful. And the testimony of Jesus Christ through your heart, through your life, will be transmitted in ways. Sometime you talk, sometime you don't. People say, what's different about you? Sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a critical way. You're different. Yes, I hope so. Hope I'm different than I used to be. Because the heart is actually producing something measurable. This isn't spiritual. This is real. Furthermore, when an individual is generating a coherent heart rhythm, synchronization between that person's brainwave and another person's heartbeat is more likely to occur. These findings have intriguing implications, suggesting that individuals in a physiopsychological coherent state, that's healed, become more aware of the information encoded in the heart fields of those around them. So if you are a stable, whole person with a healed heart, there is something about that condition of that heart. When it's open, you'll be able to understand people like you've never understood them before. Because you see, it's with the heart. You make confession with the mouth, but with the heart you believe. There's something solid comes with the heart. We believe this capacity for exchange of energetic information is an innate ability that heightens awareness and mediates important aspects of true empathy and sensitivity to others. Show me somebody that has no empathy or sympathy or connection or just simple compassion. Heart is hurting. Heart's wounded. You probably had that in that course too, didn't you? One thing about a heart that's wounded and not whole, it never picks up when other people are wounded. It doesn't connect because it has to protect. It's all about protection, you see. But a whole, healed heart is what's going to be the most dynamic force in your testimony of Jesus Christ in your life. It's not about keeping a rule, not about following a law, not about your living arrangement. It's not about you're going to church every Sunday or a meeting on 5 times a week. It's not about devotions every day. It's not about praying every day. Those are things you do. But the reality of your testimony is going to be the heart of Jesus beating in your heart because you got a new heart. He said, I'll put my heart in you. I'll put my spirit in you. And that changes the dynamic of who you are and what you can do. The heart is a sensory organ and acts as a sophisticated information encoding and processing center that enables it to learn, remember, and make independent functional decisions. The heart. That's the heart. Guard it, or you make wrong decisions. Guard it with a guard. And at the same time, open. And you know, if something is perfectly guarded, you can be open about it. If your heart has a guard around it, you can be totally open with that thing because it's guarded. You don't have to worry about the devil, the demon, nothing. Really? You don't have to worry about any evil thing coming to you when your heart is guarded with one who says, I'll give you a new one. Do you think God's interested in guarding what he gives you? Yeah, it's his. My goodness, he'll guard it. He'll protect that thing. He will not, he even knows the hair of your head. He knows when they fall. He knows all these things. He knows when a sparrow falls. He keeps track of it all. You think he can keep track of your heart? You think he can guard it? God, guard my heart. God, I want the heart of Jesus beating in me. So now you guard it so that I don't bring nothing bad in. And so I can be totally open so that when people sense this heartbeat here, they can sense something that's bigger than me, bigger than us. God. Life. Love. Care. The heart brain's neural circuitry, that's the brain and the heart, enables it to act independently of the cranial brain to learn, remember, make decisions, and even feel and sense. This heart is an amazing thing. Listen to your heart. Can we sing that song, It's Your Heart? It's your heart. It's your heart in this matter that counts. So let your windows of heaven all be opened again and be healed by his wonderful love. Let the windows of heaven all be opened again and be healed by his wonderful love. Let me ask you a question. Any of you this morning feel like you want God to touch your heart? Like, here was David, king, a man after God's own heart. But somehow, he didn't keep the guard there. He let the guard slip. Let's sing this song, and if you want, let's stand it. But if you want, you want to ask God to heal something and to create in you a clean heart again, make that your prayer. Make, say, God, create in me a clean heart now again. I want the heart of Jesus beating in me. Let's sing it.